Trying to jump on now.
Jared just told us that she's having internet things, so.
You want to start and have her jump in if she comes in?
Wait. Okay. No, I don't think we need to wait. I think we should.
She didn't say anybody was there, so.
Okay. That's good. Okay, so we'll call the meeting to order at 47?
547.
547?
Yep.
Perfect. And roll call. Christian, absent. Sean?
Here.
John Gary, absent. Wilma, here. Stacy Kirtland?
Here.
Of Allegiance.
Okay, I am gonna share that. Let me share my flag first. Anyone that needs it. Okay. I can't read well. Form one, no, screen two. I don't want you to share my screen. I need to get that.
There's one above your head and the screen and the view.
There's what?
There's one above your head and the view of the thing.
Oh, can you see it in the thing?
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can. You can see the one in the room. Okay. Thank you.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with the liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item three, approval of the agenda.
Move to approve.
I'll second. All in favor by roll. Christian absent, John.
Aye.
John Gary absent, Oma. Aye. Stacy Kirkland.
Aye.
And Wilma, I think you're okay if you don't name the people who already reported as absent.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Good. The consent agenda.
Move to approve.
I second.
Okay. Approval by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Item five, public comments. We have no public here.
LaSalle or Whitney wanted to speak up.
Jared? No?
Oh, it looks like Susanville's connected now.
She oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Item six, reports. Does any of the board members have any reports?
No.
Okay. Executive director report. Carrie.
So I did submit that to everyone in writing. I did have some questions that were raised about how are we trying to recruit, and you know, I listed some things we do. We actually, and Stacy had raised some questions or had suggestions and ideas. We do go to the Chico State hiring fair. I think we've gone to the SAC one on occasion. So we do those things as well each year. For clerical positions, we do use the Alliance for Workforce Development. They've sent us some candidates, but at this point, those haven't worked out real well. But we try. The other thing we do as a school is we belong to this group called Handshake, and it's all the colleges belong to that. And so they have sort of the central database. So I go on there, list the position, and I kind of pick which colleges I want it posted at. So we do put it at all those colleges, some private colleges, some of the private colleges or like University of Phoenix, you know, look, doesn't cost any more to do that. And then you had a question, Stacy, about maybe doing some kind of sign-on bonuses.
It was just actually, I was discussing it with my husband. You know, we were looking over the agenda together. And that was actually his suggestion. What kit is that an option, you know, to entice people? And then the other thing is that we need to, how are we comparably to other people or other places in Lassen County? Schools, mainly.
Yeah, no, we're very competitive. We check that regularly and up our rates based on when the other schools move their rates up, we certainly do as well. So we actually look at the county rates and the Lassen County rates to make sure we're competitive in both those markets.
Okay. Yeah. It was just, you know, I was trying to think of ways.
And that's what I need is if you come up with other things that I, and Jared, I see that you have a comment or question, but I want to point out that Whitney got to take advantage of a school offering her a sign-on bonus in the past. And that was a nice incentive, you felt like.
It was. It definitely helped sway my decision one way or the other.
But you left before the second year.
I did. So mine was, it was just a 1 year
thing.
So when I left, I came back here.
Right. Which I'm grateful for.
Right. It worked out really for the better. Right. But it was, there weren't, at that point, there weren't stipulations to, you know, a certain number of years that you have to put in.
Right.
Other schools I've had friends go to, they have different sign-on bonuses, but it's a longer contract that they have to sign, depending on what the offer is.
So nothing prevents us legally from offering
that.
Because I think that's part of your question is, can you even do that? Yes. But the thing that I always have that little bit of concern, we hired several new staff this year. And if all of a sudden we announce that from here on, we're going to do a sign-on bonus, there's some people, you know, would be like, wait a minute, you know, where's mine? Jared, you want to make a comment?
Oh, I was just going to point out that while Whitney and I were at the job fair last week, some of the Nevada school districts were offering sign-in bonuses. And I think for a teacher, it was for 2 years, it was $2,000, $1,000 for the first year and $1,000 for the second. And then they were also doing the same things for paras. And they rated the paras by how many hours they got, how many hours they were going to work, by how big of a bonus they were going to get. And I think it was, what was it, Whitney, like $750 for a full-time para or something?
That's where I was getting the $500 earlier.
Okay. That's for the para positions.
I mean, it might be something that we can't look at this moment, but if we had a huge turnover at the end of the year, it might be something we want to take a look at if we were faced with many teachers. It just seems like we're always having a hard time finding teachers. I don't know why they want to go to the traditional school districts. I mean, yeah, there's a little less paperwork involved. Oh, well, I mean, it's just different in a traditional classroom rather than, you know, a charter school. So I guess I would just was... Walter and I were just talking, and so those were kind of some of the things we were bouncing off.
Sure. No, I appreciate you doing that. And I think about what I would maybe think that we could consider is giving our own employees a bonus if they recommend somebody that we hire.
Like a finder's fee?
Like a finder's fee.
Yeah.
That might be a good idea. But
like that.
But I know in the past we've had some finder fee, you know, people found, and then maybe they weren't the right fit either, or they didn't, I mean.
Right. You'd have to say, and we hire them. You find them.
Yeah.
Like a referral bonus.
A referral bonus.
Yeah.
So to go back to what Stacy said, if you're going to do the sign-on bonus? You now may have two choices. You're going to have to retroactive everybody that, or you're going to have to start that next year.
Right.
And so I think we need to really consider taking care of the current employees we have.
That's another thing, too.
Yeah.
Honestly, who've been here forever, like longevity or something.
Mm-hmm. Or any of them that are here to give them incentive to stay with us and not move.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that's even more important is that we're keeping quality teachers so that they aren't leaving to go somewhere else.
Okay.
So that's some ideas. Anyway.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll definitely explore them a little bit and come back to you with some ideas. No, that's a good point that we either have to put a line on the sand and do it in the future.
Yeah. And also look forward, like Elle said, to keep to retention too as well.
Right.
Recruitment and retention.
Great.
One more thing. You needed another one, didn't you?
Hey, I did. I definitely did. Okay. Thank you. That was the couple things from my report that I wanted to respond to. And I did get an update today from Nick Trover Construction. As you guys are probably aware, we had gotten a $400,000 well grant. And at the time we applied and got it was when we were expecting to build our new school on the Doyle property, our little 100-acre woods across the road. And we're not doing that now, but we've had discussions of what some possibilities are. Well, we still needed to expend that grant. So we have Butte Construction over there. They've been on the site since Tuesday. This is Nick's notes. They've already drilled and installed the conductor, which is the first 40 feet or so of the well. At 15 feet, they already hit water. The man leasing the field discovered another abandoned well. I think we knew there was an ag well on there. I don't think that was a discovery. On the site near where we were drilling, it's 14 inches wide, several hundred feet deep and full of water. And so he's saying, because we need a specific flow to get the well project approved and done. And he's saying there's probably not going to be any problem with flow, judging from those two wells now of how much water is in there. So I'll take that as a very positive. That's it on my report. And I see we have Miss Valerie here.
Hello.
Ready for Valerie to do her report. Okay, Valerie, you're on.
Okay, we might have Matthew joining as well. I don't know if he's on here. Can't see everyone.
He's not with us yet.
Okay.
What's happening with that first?
Sure. I just wanted to, let me just see here. I thought you have the link. Sure, he indicated he was getting on as well, so I think he has it. Send that to him really quickly. Okay. All right. I just wanted to let all of you know that this will be my last boarding meeting with Long Valley, and I'm going to be staying in the charter community, but I am moving on from DMS. And I have to tell you guys, I have so loved working with your school. Sherry and I have formed a bond here in this past year for sure. And I think it'll be a friendship that will continue for many years. And Elle, I've enjoyed working with her as well so much. But I have my colleague here, Matthew Lemos, and he's going to be stepping into the finance lead role. And if I could pick anybody to partner with you guys, it would be Matthew. He is incredible. I really look up to him a lot in the way that he maintains relationships with his clients in this school. So I know you guys are going to be in great hands. But I will definitely miss the day-to-day and weekly interaction that I have with Sherry and Elle and the rest of the team there. So anyway, just want to let you guys know that. And here is Matthew. You want to say hi?
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet everyone. Sherry, of course, it's good to see you again. Thank you for the kind words, Valerie. I have some very big shoes to fill and you will be missed. I'm excited to get to know everybody and learn about the Long Valley program.
Sure.
Okay. Sorry, we will. It's become comfortable after this year, and we'll adjust and test Matthew.
Good. He needs it, right?
That's yeah. Right. It takes time. Trust isn't built overnight.
Definitely. So, okay. Let me pull this up here. I'll do a screen share and let me make sure that I get it to where you guys are all able to see that right here. Okay. How does that look size-wise for you guys? Is that something that works?
Make it a little bigger, maybe?
Sure. Let me try that.
Feeling okay. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, great. Okay, so happy to present your unaudited actuals this evening. And I'm doing a consolidated summary. So this is both schools together. And then we also have some information of each of the campuses split out for you. But combined, Long Valley Charter will end the year with an operating income of $1.4 million with an ending fund balance of $4.6 million. And the differences as we look at the way we ended the year as compared to our last budget, which was second interim budget, there's really the only difference is really set with the revenues. And the changes that we're going to see here are, as you know, there were a lot of one-time revenues flowing in and out. And so some of those, they asked for us to recognize a portion of the one-time revenues in the 2021 year. So if you received a partial payment on ESSER II funding or the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, we recognize the revenue in this year as opposed to your 2021 year. But it's all going to be spent on the same purposes, and it's just kind of a timing thing. On your federal... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
It'll stay restricted in both years, correct?
You bet. Absolutely. Great question. Federal revenues were also a little bit higher. Your national school lunch program was slightly higher. Title I was a tiny bit higher. And then those one-time ESSER II revenues came in this year. Then on the state revenue, lottery revenues were higher than we anticipated. And then we also have that Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant. And then on the local revenues, your special education SPED revenue, your final allocation that we got last week was more than we had anticipated at second interim budget. So when we take a look at all of those, this is your consolidated summary here. And so we have, I hope this is something you guys can read. Okay, so the first two columns are the consolidated, and then here we have Long Valley. At your second interim budget, we projected you would have $3.2 million in revenue, $2.8 million in expenses, and $356,000 in income. And you ended up with $556,000 net income. For the year, Thompson Peak, we estimated $2 million in revenue, $1.7 million in expenditures, $258,000 net. And you ended the year at $871,000 net. The SPED revenue was quite a bit higher than we had budgeted. And then if you take a look at your expenditures, they're really quite close to what we had budgeted. They were at 97% for both schools in terms of our second interim budget. So that's where things ended for the year. The next page is your balance sheet. So ending the year, Long Valley with 1.5 million cash on hand, Thompson Peak 800. Then you had large receivables, and that was because of the state deferring the revenues. But those have actually come in this month, a large portion of those accounts receivable have already been received. So anyway, you ended the year with 3.1 million on assets, 1.8 for Thompson Peak. And overall, you can see down here, net assets for each one of the schools, 2.9 for Long Valley and 1.6 for Thompson Peak. So very healthy balance sheet and a really good year financially. A lot of those higher revenues were due in part to the one-time funds, of course, and then also the PPP loan, which you guys received the full loan forgiveness, I believe in May. So that was also part of that. Okay.
Tom has a question.
Sure.
I'm not sure. Our schools, is there a minimum or a maximum reserve rule? But I know we have three sites, so it might be a little complicated. And if we do, what percentage we're sitting at?
Okay, excellent question. It would be advisable for you to really work to a 10%, at least 10% cash reserve. Let's see, if we go back to this other page right here, I do have your ending fund balance as a percentage of expenses. So that's a really good metric to look at. What is your fund balance in relation to your expenses? So for Long Valley, you're at 109%. Your fund balance of 2.9 and your annual expenses are about 2.7. And then with Thompson Peak, you're at a 97% ratio. So that's a really key thing. But in addition, I mean, as you know, your fund balance isn't always, I mean, it's made up of fixed assets and things that are not necessarily liquid. So the cash on hand, you know, we're going to shoot for, we're going to want you to have 2 to 3 months cash on hand, if possible. And I believe you do. It's a little bit difficult as well with the charter school, with schools in general, because they want you to make sure that you're spending the current year's revenue on the current year student and not necessarily, you know, making some large profit. And so that's one directive that you have. And then you also are told to have a nice, healthy fund balance. So it's a little bit of a tightrope. And I think that you guys have done an excellent job navigating that and really paying attention to when you have a year that you need to have a funding determination test, which you did not have this year, but every couple of years that comes up. And that's a really key year that you really need to be very, very mindful that you're spending pretty much all of the revenue that you receive for that year. The reason for that is, if you think about a funding determination, sorry, I'm kind of going off on stuff here, but it's my last board meeting. So, but sorry, if you think of funding determination, every dollar that you don't spend is a dollar that kind of counts against you in that testing ratio. So in those funding determination years, you want to be able to show that you've spent at least 40% of that year's revenue on certificated teacher salaries. And Long Valley and Thompson Peak have never had an issue with that particular test. The other test is that you have to show that over 80% of your revenue was spent on the school program. And so administrative costs don't count in that ratio. And so it's just real important that you spend as much as you can in the in those funding determination years. So I hope that makes sense.
Combined, we're well over 10%.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I guess that a number.
Sorry, say that one more time. I couldn't hear the full.
You had to guess at a number, could you?
Look here. Well, let's see. You have with Long Valley, you have 1.5 million in cash and you've got 2. Help me out here, Matt on my ratios. And you have 2.7 million in annual expenses. So that's just a quick division problem to see what you have here. I'll pull out my handy dandy iPhone.
I know you're doing that calculation, but I just want to read from our fiscal policy that we have. And it says that we will ensure adequate cash balances to meet annual cash flow needs as follows. Minimum operating reserve fund balance of 5% with a goal of 10% of the total of all budgeted expenditures. And then no less than 45 days of unrestricted cash on hand.
Is that side by side or is that combined?
This is a combined measure.
It's just kind of too much because we do have a lot of people that work for us. So we're definitely at 10, easily.
Just looking at cash on hand as a total, you guys are at 186 days cash on hand. What we usually recommend is 45 days. Any clients that we have, they're involved with bonds or bond covenants, it's required to have 45 days. So that's what investors would ask of you to make sure that you could cover the bond payments in that situation. So you guys are in very good shape as far as cash compared to cash on hand and the percentage hold for fund balance.
Now they discontinued the deferrals, but it was kind of nice to be in this position because when they were announcing that they were going to do deferred payments by the CDE, to know that we weren't going to have to go out and borrow money from anybody to make payroll and do those things was pretty good.
Right.
Sorry to hijack you, Mallory. Just had some questions.
Right.
Hey, no, great. I love the dialogue. And thank you, Matt, for following up on that. So yeah, it's great.
So what follows in this report are the reports I need to give to our two authorizers because they'll see it in high school. And we'll have met our requirement to submit those to our districts.
Right. Those are the state required financial reporting. They want it in this alternative format, alternative form. So those are included in your board packet as well. Any other questions?
Not hearing any.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Valerie.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. You guys all have a nice evening. Are some of you guys together at this meeting?
In person?
All right, that's great.
Apparently, they're not making enough noise for the camera to turn around and see them.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. Well, I'm glad that you guys are able to start meeting back together, and that's awesome, encouraging.
Thank you.
Okay. We will sign off if there's nothing else. Thank you guys so much. Okay. Bye.
It was a pleasure. Nice meeting you guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
Well, that's kind of sad.
It's very sad. Yeah. It's very sad.
Dang it.
No.
She's been here with
A year.
Yeah, I remember the lady that was here before her.
Yeah,
I don't remember the name.
Hand
with our. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
With our rep.
So I might be a little difficult to work with. Yeah. Apparently, there's a lot of charter school directors that just like you do it, you figure it out, and not, you know, we require that they meet with us every week and we set up an agenda to talk through. I think you should be a little bit of a control freak on,
What's the how long is the contract with DMS?
Yeah, we have another year.
This year or next? Okay.
Yeah, and Belle and I really, we took a look at another company. We've taken a look at multiple companies, actually, and really went pretty far down with demos and how they function. And the truth is, not one of them is perfect, right? They have areas they do really well and areas they don't do really well. And they're all pretty similarly priced. Mm-hmm. And we just found that the systems DMS have are the kind of systems we need. So we'll keep going. And I've actually, Elle and I had a meeting with Matthew and Valerie last week. And he is, there's no doubt in my mind, he's pretty sharp and, you know, had a nice sense of humor. And,
Okay, item D, the program report submitted in writing this month includes campus location, special programs, and safety. Anything you want to talk about in those? I didn't see
anything. I didn't think there was anything. Just keeps you up to date on what's going on around our locations. If you have any questions, we have several of the folks here.
I didn't see any of them.
Okay.
Did you have any questions, Stacy, on the written, the program reports that were submitted in writing?
Sorry, have to learn where the unmute button is. I was okay. There wasn't anything that stuck out that needed to be asked.
Okay, thank you. So item seven, the update on COVID-19.
You know,
I
hope that's helpful that I send you notices.
Oh, yeah.
We're having those issues come up so that if you get calls from anybody, you know what the school had done.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously sent two classrooms home in Doyle. Portola learned of one family having a positive. And I assume we have a better time in Lassen County is what I want to say. There's a level of organization because of having Katie Hart, the county nurse that's-
She's a rock star.
She's employed by Lassen County Office of Ed. So she works very closely with the county public health to keep track of positive cases. And anytime there is a person related to a school, she picks up the phone, calls Elle immediately to let her know so that we can help contact trace and make a determination. In the independent study, we've had just a few cases have come up, but they haven't started actual classes where there's groups of kids together. They're doing the one-on-one appointments. And thankfully, the ones that have been, they were either seen way earlier or hadn't come to campus yet, so there was nothing we needed to do. One of the things I find really interesting, and this is some of the conflicting kind of info we get, right, is that the state worked with, CDE worked with California Department of Public Health to create a modified quarantine for students. Modified quarantine means they get to stay at school. So not if positive, but if they have contact, so a kid in the classroom tests positive. If we have done our work and kept them masked and distanced at lunch, which we do, that child, instead of being put on quarantine, could actually stay in school. With some frequent testing, how often do they have to be tested out?
Two times in a 10-day period.
Okay. So with some testing kind of things, making sure they're asymptomatic, there's no symptoms showing up, right? But we are under the direction for our employees by Cal OSHA, sets our rules. No such thing as a modified quarantine. So now if that teacher has had contact with that child, which of course they have had. I have to send the teacher home. Well, I can leave the kids in with nobody to teach them. Just like the level of insanity. And it's almost, I think we're all committed to keeping kids in school. We think that's really important. But if I have no adult teacher to take care of them, you know, that is some really incredibly conflicting information. In a way, sending the class home is easier to manage because then I can have the teacher just work on Zoom with them and we don't have to worry or wonder what's going on. But I really do want to keep our kids in. So we, just so you know, are struggling with that, how to resolve that. So if we have just two or three kids that we can say were affected in that room, we could put them on modified quarantine and not send the whole class home. And that's kind of the journey we've been on, is figuring out all the ins and outs of doing this. But it's still gonna be really complicated. If we end up with two classes, we just don't have enough human beings to be in those classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, is that why we sent classes home? Because we didn't have, because the teacher had contact with that, and then there was nobody to follow in behind the teacher?
Oh, not in this case. I'm going to tell you that. So what we would have to do, so when they're masked in the classroom, we have to find out who was within like 6 feet of them and put them in the category of quarantining. And then you have to consider that at lunch, any of the kids who are sitting at their table because they're unmasked at that time, those kids would need to be sent home. And we just had the set of circumstances where these are younger kids. They didn't know all the kids' names, their class yet, because it was the second week of school. And when we tried to identify who they sat with, we could not get straight answers. And so I'll tell you what we did is the kids all now have assigned seats at lunch. They got to pick where they wanted to sit. We recorded all the names and said, for the month of September, that's where you're sitting. October 1, we'll give everybody a chance to reseat themselves. And I think it's going to be the same thing for Kelly and Jared in their locations. They're going to have to really be careful on how kids are seated during meals when their masks are off. Does that help? I mean, I'm a little, in retrospect, like, wow, how did you not figure that out, Sherry? But it just, you know, that was one of the things we kind of got caught and said, sure. Okay, we just, to be safe, we need to send that class home.
Okay, well, I just was wondering, because of what you explained with the Cal OSHA rules and everything, if that was the reason why those classes were sent home. And so I'm glad that you're taking all the precautions that we can, and that's all we can do.
Thank you. I just want to give you that update, give you the whole story, and hopefully we'll have less classes going home and just some individuals.
So with talking about when a teacher actually has to go home, the rules are more strict for a teacher than the children, basically. So how are substitute teachers working these days? Is that even an option with the testing and the...
It is an option.
So they just have to show that they've been tested within a certain amount of
time? Or we have to test them. We've set in our own safety policy that we instituted last year for COVID safety.
Yeah.
Before the first day you come onto our campus to work, you have to have a test.
Okay.
So we would start there and then test them weekly. In the same way everybody else.
So even, so like, if you found out tomorrow you need a substitute teacher, you couldn't really get one because
correct.
Somebody would have to come in and get tested.
Unless they showed us they were vaccinated.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the other thing, you know, when we're talking about teachers and sending them home or not, if they're vaccinated, we don't have to send them home. Okay. That's not a popular thought. That's not a popular thought, but that's the only way right now that we can say they don't have to go home.
Got it.
And then starting mid-October, we have to start testing everyone who's not vaccinated weekly.
Right.
With kit shortages and everything else right now.
Sorry.
And PCR tests, so we're good for a little bit.
Okay. I like your hoarding.
When I was on that call and I found out there was a shortage, I went directly there and ordered as many as I could.
Okay.
So if they're not vaccinated, they have to be tested weekly. And if they're vaccinated, they don't have to be tested at all.
Correct.
Okay.
But they'll still be tested on our
On our three times a year schedule, not the weekly testing.
Okay. And there's been no complaints or anything like that?
Well, we did a survey.
Okay.
Because Cal OSHA said we have to provide N95 masks to anybody who wanted them. And we really needed to know how many of those do we need? How many tests do we need? So we did a little survey that asked, do you want masks? Yes or no? And here are the options on this whole new, you know, testing or be vaccinated. I'm vaccinated and plan to show you, you know, proof. I plan to participate in the testing program. And then I gave a third option, which said, I am not vaccinated and I do not plan to be tested. And I want you to know that one person checked that box. 37% of our employees said they are vaccinated and going to show proof. And the rest said they'll be testing. So, no, I haven't heard complaints beyond that. So
what about that one person who won't be vaccinated and doesn't plan to test? Are they no longer employed?
When we come to that bridge in mid-October, we'll see where that person lies. You know, maybe they've adjusted to the idea and are going to be okay. So we're not making any rush decisions on what to do.
Okay.
Well, something could change between now and
then. Absolutely.
And they can ask for accommodation, and that brings into a whole other issue.
Nightmare.
Yep.
Nightmare scenario.
Yep.
We'll see what happens with the recall on top of it. Who even knows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on to section 8, the action items. Item A, discussion and possible action regarding approval of 2020-2021 unaudited actuals for Long Valley and Thompson Peak.
To approve.
I'll second. All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Item B, discussion and possible action regarding approval of stipends for the 2021-2022 school year.
Can you go over that before we make a motion? A little bit?
You are.
A little background on that?
Sure. So I'll start with talking about, we had adopted previously, there were no changes to it on coaching stipends.
Oh, coaching.
Okay, so part of it is coaching. And then part of it is when we have teachers going through the induction program, the clear their credentials.
Yeah, I'm good, Chair.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'll move to approve.
Okay.
Okay. I'll second. Approval by roll, Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Item C, discussion of possible action regarding approval of change from 210 days to 220 days for administrators. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor, Sean?
Can we have some discussion on that one first?
Sure.
What's the story behind the increase?
Okay, so some of the administrators, and I'm going to say some of them like Misty, work hard all summer here.
Oh, you want to get paid for being here?
I want her to get paid for being here. And
wait.
I want to
go ahead.
I know what you're going to say, Stacey, so I'm going to address it. So I have Whitney, Jared, Kelly, and Misty, those administrators, are on a 210-day schedule. I want to give them the option to be on 220 days, and if they choose that option, they would get paid 10 more days of work.
So it's not mandatory.
Not mandatory. I want to really leave that option for them. And it's 10 times... I said the increase will be equal to 10 times their daily rate. So what their day-by-day rate is, they're going to get paid 10 more days worth of revenue, of income.
Okay. That was just worded a little for my brain not to wrap around it. And okay. So I just was wondering, I thought it was probably 10 days extra, but I wanted to make sure.
What we're looking at doing. Yeah.
And I have a quick question I forgot to ask you the other day. Can we change our minds later in the year if we think we need that?
That's going to be rough.
Okay.
And the reason is for payable purposes, because you guys are paid equally through the month. So that will be rough.
That was just the thought of it after the fact, because I said, not at this point, but the way my to-do list keeps looking, it might.
It is. It's hard to get. It's hard to do. I am on a 220 day and it's hard to get it done.
Right.
So, okay. So I think we had a motion and a second.
I have a quick question. Is that okay?
Oh, there she is. Yes.
Shani, is the extra 10 days like for the admin, would it be like from here on out, or is it like by year basis, or? Would our contract change for our agreement change for that forever or foreseeable future?
Your contract per year. So your agreement comes up every year. So every year you would say, okay, I would like to have 210 or 220 this upcoming year.
Excellent. Okay. I don't know if we live forever. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And so I think what Stacey was talking about, and I had the same question. Because it just says it would have been increased by 10 times the employee's daily rate.
Right.
You're right up. So it just means it would just increase their pay by 10 more days.
Yes.
Yeah. 10 times the daily rate.
Yeah.
Would be 10 days.
Right. Okay. Good. So we had a motion and a second.
We do.
Okay. All in favor, Sean?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Okay. Item D. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of parent educator hourly rate adjustments.
I submitted a list to you. I showed you what they were currently being paid. And I mean, so Stacy, this is exactly what we do, is occasionally we stop, we look at what the other rates are outside of us. We looked at all our employees. And here's what's happened. That minimum wage has gone up and up and up. And so we discovered we have some employees who've been with us for several years, and they've only gotten the increase that minimum wage has come along with. And now newer people are making the same as them, and they really should be compensated more for that longevity.
Absolutely.
So that's how that list came about.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I will second it.
All in favor, by roll, Sean?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Okay, that's all the action items. The future items are the what?
It's called the ESSER 3 report. So she was talking earlier about ESSER 2.
Right.
And now we have a whole other batch of money that will be restricted. So I have to bring you a plan for how we're going to use that money.
The safety report, updated employee handbook, and the LCAP updates.
Yeah, the county office sat down with me to share a couple things they wanted edited in the LCAPs.
Oh,
so
local control, but edited.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, anything else?
I have one question. Where are we with the purchase from CareApp?
That's fair.
I'm sorry. I didn't think to ask you beforehand because I forgot.
I thought about it. So Kelly entertained the appraiser yesterday, right? It was yesterday. So here's where we are with the thing. It starts with you make a purchase sale agreement with the seller. I want you to know we got our lawyer to write it up based on the appraised value, 1.2. I have presented it to them, and they have not yet signed it. I don't know that they've even read it yet, because he's been out on the fire with heavy equipment. So they told me that they're gonna get to it, don't worry about it, kinda, okay. Meanwhile, I started talking with Umpqua Bank about financing, and they are really interested in doing it. So they put together, here's what we would do, and they are pitching like an under 3% rate pitch with us putting down 500,000 on it, 400,000. They were kind of like, you should only put 400,000, keep another 100 for any, you know, closing kinds of things. And I said, they said, what do you want your payment to be? And I said, am I at the car dealership? Right. And I said, okay, I'm going to tell you what I think our payment should be. I'd like it to be the same as what we pay on the lease, right?
Sure.
And they actually did that. So we pay about $6,000 a month for that building, and that's what the mortgage payment would be. So they're making progress. They sent an inspector last week. They sent an appraiser this week. I still don't have a purchase sale agreement signed.
Okay.
Which makes me a little bit, but they wouldn't accept the appraisal that we had done in March. Their bank wanted their own appraiser to come up. So I'm hoping there's no big, you know, differences. But so we're making what I think is good progress. I have them put in writing that they're going to keep us on a month to month as long as we're progressing on the lease, because the lease would expire mid-September again. So they're good with keeping it month to month and moving forward. So that's where we are.
Okay. I just was curious.
Oh, you should be. You should be. Everything's, we're in a, give you a quick update. We're right in the middle. We have to get interim financing for the USDA loan. And that interim financing, you know, is progressing also. So it's all, you know, maybe coming together.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll adjourn at 6:40.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. See you next time.
Bye. Everybody.